If you like weird history, true crime, haunted and paranormal, then pause the podcast you're listening to right now and subscribe to Ghost Town wherever you listen to podcasts. We also have a video component to our favorite Ghost Town episodes at youtube.com/Jason Horton. Episodes like The Los Feliz Murder House, The Toxic Lady, The Black Dahlia, Janis Joplin's Hotel Room, The Haunted Roosevelt Hotel, and more. Just go to youtube.com/Jason Horton. That's youtube.com/JasonHorton. And while you're there, please subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Thank you. Are you a fan of narrative-driven podcasts but also looking for something funny? Well, then check out this brand new CastBox original, This Sounds Serious, The Case of Daniel Bronstadt. It's a fake true crime podcast that delivers big on both laughs and story. The first two episodes are available May 1st wherever you get your podcast, or you can go to www.thissoundsserious.com. All right, let's do it. It's free. It's the Friends Without Benefits podcast. My name is Jason Horton. Welcome to the show. Today, I have a chat with Tara Erickson. She's an actor and comedian. She has a large online presence, and she also works kind of in the movie biz, kind of discussing movies and the movie biz. She grew up in Las Vegas, which I found really interesting because I don't know many people that grew up in Las Vegas. I know people that have later on have gone to Las Vegas. I know people that go to Las Vegas for leisure, but people that grew up there and like, what is that like and what do you do? So we have a chat about that and some other stuff. My stand-up comedy show, Flappers, went well. For those who are keeping track, it was a show that was on 420, and I thought everyone was going to have some kind of 420 Joker story, and I'm the only one who did, and I was probably the least qualified. But you know what? I did the work, and I think it went really well. My next show is not until May at the Ice House, but I'm hoping to book something in the interim. I'll be going to Las Vegas for my birthday in the beginning of May, and then pretty much right after that, I'm going to Florida to visit my mother, and my brother's going down, and I'm sure I'll have plenty to report. If you're interested in like West Palm Beach based information activities, I think we might be doing something going on a boat and something with alligators and then gambling at an Indian casino. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. Looking forward to it. Different, fun. And it's been 3+ weeks since I've been off the all soda, diet soda, aspartame. It's good. I'm sure it's probably, I like to see like results. I like to actually see and feel results. And yeah, I probably feel a little bit better. Definitely less bloated. Headaches are probably maybe a little bit less, around the same, because I'm probably need to drink more water. I know. Very, very exciting. But one thing I got figured out, got my contact lenses back. I was exclusively wearing glasses, but thanks to Simple Contacts, I'm back in the contact lens business. Simple Contacts is the most convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription and reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes. It's vision care for the 21st century. If you need to renew your prescription, it takes 5 minutes to take a vision test from your phone or computer. It's reviewed by a licensed doctor. You receive a renewed prescription and reorder your contacts. All you need are your current contacts, an internet connection, and 10 feet of space. I did it. It was very, very easy. They're correct. It takes about 5 minutes. It was very easy, and that's probably my biggest turnoff in the sense of getting other contacts. So they were right, and it was good. I did it. There's so many things demanding your time, and contact lenses shouldn't be one of them. With Simple Contacts, you can renew your prescription and reorder your contacts from anywhere in minutes. No more doctor's offices or waiting rooms. Yes, that's what I like, because I have to go, make an appointment, and then park. And in LA, it's like you have to pay for parking. I just want to avoid all that. And Simple Contacts has made it easy. It's designed by doctors and licensed ophthalmologists, and they review every test carefully to make sure your eyes look healthy and your vision hasn't changed. Your vision hasn't changed. The way I'm speaking, they can't cover that. They can't help me with that, but they can definitely help with my visions. Simple Contacts has all the brands and types of lenses you're familiar with, so you never have to shop around to find lenses at the best price. It has been rated 5 stars over 3,000 times on the App Store. You can text with the support team and always get to speak with a person, not a robot. They get back to you. They're great. I actually had a couple of questions about lenses. I have astigmatism. I don't even know what that means. I just know I have it. And I use it in conversations sometimes, but they were very helpful with that. And with summer around the corner, there's no shortage of reasons to have contacts on hand. Yeah, you can't wear glasses when you go swimming. I've tried. Use Simple Contacts to update your prescription and stock up for summer. The vision test is only $20 compared to an appointment without a prescription that could cost over $200. The contact lens prices are unbeatable, standard shipping is free, and you can get $30 off your contacts at simplecontacts.com/friends or enter the code FRIENDS at checkout. This isn't a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. They only test your current prescription to make sure you're still seeing 20/20. But it's good. I used it. It really took 5 minutes or less. It was really the decision for me to wear contact lenses again. So go to simplecontacts.com/friends or enter the code FRIENDS at checkout.
Am I allowed to curse sometimes?
Sometimes you are.
I'm going to try to not. But I'm just like,
do you start everything off like that? It's like, can I curse with anything?
At most everywhere I go.
Yeah.
Real quick before we.
No, you can curse like, I'll give you 10.
Okay, great.
Use them wisely.
That's a lot.
No, use them wisely. Yeah.
Okay, sure. But 10 is a lot. You might
You might rapid fire like 4 in a row though.
This
is
true. Yeah, like fuck. I already used 3.
That's 3. Yeah.
Now I'm down to 7. Yeah. Okay. This is fun.
Somebody actually asked me like in some kind of interview, like what's like my favorite curse word kind of like thing. And I said dick. And they're like, is that even a curse word? I was like, it is for me. So
it's a curse word.
Yeah. Right.
Like you dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's really the intonation, like the tone behind it.
I wouldn't say it like that. I'd say it like under my breath in my car, far away from the person. So they'd never know or hear it. I'd be like,
right. Dick.
And then they'd never know. So right. Like that, yeah.
Yeah, you can't even really get it out like firmly. It takes you a minute.
Yeah, it takes me a minute, and then I'm just like, I wonder, is like no cops, right?
Right.
Right. It makes no cops around. You know what I mean? I don't want to get in trouble.
Totally. I mean, you have an issue with the cops, huh? Just constantly paranoid that there's cops around waiting for you to say dick? Or
they're waiting for me to slip up. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Into that dick land.
They want this collar.
Right. Oh, sure.
Yeah. This collar right here.
Right.
As I put on my glasses.
Popping. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those are good. Classic.
Yeah, right?
If I wore glasses, I would wear those that type.
I've been wearing glasses like this since I was like probably like 13 or 14.
You're lying.
I am, and I'm old,
Do you
too.
Have pictures of you like that with those glasses, and now you're hip AF right now?
Yeah, I'm old.
This is good, though. Yeah. I mean, you're bringing the hip in with the age.
Yeah, right.
You're doing the combo.
I hit him with a 1-2 punch.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
So, you know what's, I guess, kind of all the interviews I've done, this one, I probably know the least about you.
Yeah.
I know bangs. You have bangs.
I got bangs.
And you like to start things off by cursing, but we met at that Stardust app for the
we did.
To see Rampage, and your friend of my friend Stevens.
Yes.
And that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
But you're in the world. You're in the...
I'm in the world. I'm in the comedy world.
Yeah.
We do sketch comedy, improv, that kind of thing. Yeah. But we met at the screening for Rampage for Stardust, which is a great app that I've been on for a little while now.
Yeah, you're big time on there.
Yeah, people seem to like me and what I got to say about TVs and film.
You ever get any kind of, like, I used to work in, like, kind of like the internet movie thing, like behind the scenes. Do you ever get anything for, like, being female, like your opinion, and they disagree with your opinion and they use your gender to kind of, like, support that? Or is everyone pretty chill? Or you don't read comments?
No. I mean, I read the comments most of the time. Because, like, my hashtag is this idiot, and I have a hashtag idiot army, everything that I do, like, comedy-wise, it has, just a flair of, like, fun and idiocy to it. And so most of my reactions are kind of like, if you're going to come at me, it's like, it's nothing I've already haven't said to myself, I guess. Yeah. But no, Stardust has been a company where they have sent out an email being like, we're very much about promoting like the female, aspect in our community, meaning we really want to highlight female commentators that want to talk like TV and film and stuff. So they've been a great app to, they are really trying to highlight women really, which I do appreciate because it's mostly talking dudes that are like TV, film, stuff like that. So there's not a lot of female opinion, I guess, online presently. I mean, there's a lot, but maybe just not as many as guys. But Stardust is doing the deal. And I'm, But luckily, I have not gotten any negative comments, really. Most people are like, hey, you're funny. And I subscribe to your YouTube channel. And
that's
like,
all you care about, right? Right.
Yeah. It's, I'm just like, the cross promotion with it is great. And I'm like, as long as I'm making people laugh, I mean, my other hashtag is spread hugs, love, and laughter. And that's like my goal in life. So.
You have a lot of asks.
I know.
Hearts,
I do.
Love, and laughter?
Spread hugs, love, and laughter. What did you just say? Harsh love and laughter?
No,
what are you doing over here?
Hugs, love, and
laughter. Hugs, love, and laughter.
I can't do all three.
Yes, you can.
I'm very busy.
Oh my God.
I got
God.
This podcast going.
Yeah, you do. And this is definitely, nobody's laughing here.
No. This is...
I have not felt the love since I entered, and I didn't get a hug. So you're right. You do none of those.
Yeah, well, hugs. Yeah, nope. None of those three. I didn't know about the hashtag before.
I know. I mean, it's not even really... Well, I guess I got three hashtags. Those three. I got right. a lot of hashtags.
Yeah. Huh?
I'm up on the hashtag game here.
Before you had a hashtag, you know what I mean? Like, if you can think
right.
back that far.
So How was I?
Where are you from? So let's go back.
Well, I'm from Vegas, but I've been out here. I know. Rough. Sin City, huh? Yeah. But I've been out here a long time. I came out here when I was 18, so I feel like I was raised in L.A.
45
like,
years you've been out here?
Totally.
45, 50. 50
well, it was closer to 53.
53 years. Yeah, it's a long time.
53 years, yeah.
Yeah, you look good for 70.
Sounding young, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sprite is what they call
What's
me.
What's it like to live? Okay, I go to Las Vegas. My wife is a like semi-professional gambler.
Kind of. Shit.
So she goes out there a lot, and I go out there a lot. I don't really gamble. I don't really drink or party. I don't do much, but I love it out there. So what's it like to like live there? Like, do you just, I don't know.
So wait, just real quick. Do you just sit and watch your wife do the deal? And like, you're just like, cool, this is my wife. She's slaying the game. Mm-hmm. And you just, what, you chill and you drink her free drinks?
I really don't even drink that much. Now that I'm, when I was single, I drank a little bit more. But I don't really even drink that much. We stay in pretty nice rooms. So I like just sprawl out. Sometimes I record like interesting podcasts and I'm out there.
Yeah, you really don't do anything.
No, I'm a real square. Yeah,
yeah, a real leech on the old wife. She's doing. She's basically bringing home the bread.
She's doing it all. Yeah,
look at her.
Yeah,
wow.
But I have this podcast. You see, I have this podcast.
Right.
You don't understand.
Yeah, a little bit of work.
Yeah,
chit chat.
Yeah, a little
you
bit
of a chit chat thing.
But what's it like to grow up in Las Vegas? Like outside of the like casino world, like what do you do?
I don't know. People always ask me that. I'm like, it's just like any other suburban town where it's like you don't go to the strip, you know, all the time. The only difference I think is that I saw a lot of concerts with my mom. Like my very first concert when I was like 9 or 10 was to go see Boston at the Aladdin Hotel and Casino, which no longer exists. Pot filled the air. And I just saw a lot of concerts. Luckily, when you live in Vegas, cool. Everybody who's an artist goes there. Other than that, it just is another suburban town. You go to school, you go home, you do your homework. And I saw a lot of movies with my mom.
Do
on the
your
weekend.
Homework?
Yeah.
What a loser. What a freaking loser.
I would stress. I would try to, at the end of class, after the lesson was done, if we had time, I'd be like, I'm starting on the homework now. Like, I was very much like, I need to get my homework done.
When did you know you wanted to leave Las Vegas?
I don't know, like senior year, I was just applying to anywhere that was not UNLV. I just knew that I wanted to be involved in music was my main first thing. So, I think senior year when I was really trying to think of like, where do I want to go for college? Like, what do I want to do?
What were your bands? Like, what was your like, you know, what was on your mixtape or whatever?
Ooh, this is good. God, I feel like I was a nerd alert. I really love like Boston, Journey, Foreigner, like ELO, REO Speedwagon. I like Lauryn Hill. I was obsessed with Celine Dion. I did get to see her in concert.
You kind of have to, right?
You kind of have to. Yeah, I went to her opening night because the guy that I was dating, his family owned the Las Vegas Review Journal. So he had like opening night tickets. I cried.
Yeah.
Just bawled my eyes out. The second she opened her mouth.
So, so you like good. big produced, because you know ELO is a big produced sound. Boston's a big produced sound.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, nerdy. But I mean, now I like a lot of singer-songwriter stuff. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I still love everyone that I just stated.
Yeah.
But
Plus,
yeah, I don't know. Like Ray LaMontagne and Brandi Carlile, like that type of sound.
Mm-hmm.
I'm obsessed with, oh my God, Lake Street Dive. They're so good. Nobody knows who they are. Just know them.
Now they're going to.
They will because of me.
This is going to blow them up. This.
I hope so. It'll really blow them. Just this podcast. I'll go, wow. And then it's all thanks to me.
So are your parents from Vegas?
Well, my mom wasn't from Vegas. She was born in New Mexico. But I was born in Boulder, Colorado. But my mom moved me when I was about a week old back to Vegas. So I was raised by my mom and mi abuelita.
Okay.
So I feel like basically definitely grew up there. I don't remember anything, obviously, about Boulder, but I was born there.
Do you go back a lot?
No, to Vegas?
Yeah.
No, not really.
Not even
anymore.
For, like, fun?
No, I think the last time I went for like fun was when I was like 21 or 22. I remember still going back to be like, maybe I should experience it the way people think about Vegas. And I did, and it was fun. But the nightclub thing and all that jazz is not really my deal. I think the most fun I ever had was when I went to the Excalibur. I put in $5, got $250 back right off the bat, and was like, sold, no more gambling. I'm going to go eat a steak dinner and play in the arcade. And then I was like, this is...
A steak dinner at the Excalibur?
Yeah, I went to... No, no, that's a lie. No, you walk down to the Bellagio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a steak
I got married
there.
At the Bellagio.
Ooh, it's nice there. Yeah. I've seen those.
Yeah,
those
it was
wedding
very...
Things
yeah.
are good.
It's like chill, you know what I mean? It was like a little...
Yeah.
Key, yeah, it was...
It's not chill or low key. I don't know why you would use those two words.
Compared to having like a 200 person wedding, like with a big low key as far as like cost and amount of people.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
So you had what? A solid, your solid three friends there? And
we have, I have a big family. I have a big family, East Coast, and my wife has a big family from like Canada and Russia. So it was
a
nice meeting. Yeah, it was always just pretty much just family for the most part.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
And then everyone in Vegas is pretty much family. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah.
So you come, and then where do you go from? Where'd you go to? You went to college somewhere.
I went to the American Musical and Dramatic Academy, if you want to call it college.
AADA? Is that the one?
AMDA.
AMDA, okay.
There is ADA, but yeah. I did not go there. I went to the American Musical and Dramatic Academy in Hollywood, and I spent a semester in New York, so I lived there for a little while, and then... Came back and lived, you know, been in L.A. since. I lived in Hawaii for like a 6 month stint too, but then came back to L.A.
So what were your musical aspirations at that time, at least?
Yeah, like when I was younger, I really, I taught myself how to play guitar when I first started at AMDA, and I kind of just I played around town with just my guitar and sang a lot. But then, I don't know, something happened, like the acting bug hit me because you have to take all these acting classes when you're on AMDA. And I realized like the comedic aspect of acting I liked quite a bit. And then, I don't know, I just kind of moved into doing that. I still sing and play guitar and I do it for like a live streaming app. But like acting career-wise, it's a lot of acting, just in general, acting in general. I find a lot of fun, love it. But yeah, narrowed my focus in on comedy, which I found... Kind of found the comedy bug.
So what do you, I mean, when you come from like a college that's kind of teaching you like, you know, whatever, how to act or how to perform or whatever, did you find it actually helped or was it kind of getting out there and just doing the thing really more helpful?
I think really it's just the school being located in LA that makes you move and you go, I'm going to go to school now. The plethora of dance classes that I took in AMDA. I don't know that I could do any of those things now. The acting classes, they were great, but I think it's more so if I had the guts to come out here and be like, I'm not going to school and just do the deal, I think that would have been just as fine as going to school, to be honest. But yeah, it was cool and informative being in class where you have to do Shakespeare and then you have to do like these plays and then you have to learn a musical theater song in 3 hours and bring it back and... You know, just like the intensity of what schooling was it's great, you know, kind of lights a fire under your butt to be like, cool, now I'm going to go out and like kill it. But they kind of in schools out here, they don't really teach you that like you're going to have to like dig pretty deep and plan on hanging out a while before you, I think, really reach the success you may be hoping for.
They pretty much just give you kind of information to talk about on a podcast later on, right?
Yeah.
Basically, it's just fodder for podcast conversation.
Blank years down the road.
Yeah.
Here I am sitting with this guy named Jason Horton, is it?
Yeah.
just chatting away about, you know, career and acting and songs and AMDA.
Well, as much as whoever's listening to this is unfolding for them, it's also unfolding for me in real time.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like I did. I mean, I poked around a little bit, but I was like, you know, no, I want to be like totally shocked and surprised. You know, we went on your YouTube for a second, Facebook for a second. I was like, no, you know what? You know what? I want to like go down all the twists and turns.
Wow, twists and turns.
Yeah.
And a twist and a turn led you to a podcast.
Yeah. I mean, the twist and turns about your life story.
Right. Right.
So what do you do next when? Next, or what's happening at that time, like where you're doing the acting? Like, what is that?
Yeah. Well, I screwed around a lot for, I think, a solid 5 years up until I was like 26 or 27, where I was like, man, if I really would have put my nose to the ground and like really, really worked, I would have been probably in a different position now. You know, you just.
What did you do in that? Like, those lost years?
I would spend every Wednesday at Big Wang's in Hollywood singing karaoke and just getting blasted off their wanger bangers.
That's depressing.
Oh, God, it's awful.
I think they're closed now.
Yes, they are.
I used to go because, you know, I.O. was right around the corner.
I know.
So I would go there like a couple of times and be like, I mean, I love wings, but like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to get like HPV or something from the table. I don't know. It was just gross.
Well, I tell you, I was there during the early years.
Yeah.
So it was still somewhat clean.
Okay.
Than maybe what we would see it as now.
Yeah.
You know, just dancing on tables, drinking, singing songs. Thinking you're the queen of the world, and really it's just the queen of Big Wangs, and nobody really cares.
Were you bummed out? Like the next morning after that, how'd you feel?
You know, yeah, like, wow, what am I doing? Yeah. And then I have to get up and go to work.
Yeah. Where were you working?
I was working at a doggy daycare at the time.
Okay.
All the way in Culver City.
Yeah.
Boy, what a joy. And I think that's what led me to being like, what are you doing? And then I went to Hawaii and I was a dolphin trainer for a second out there. I worked at Dolphin Quest because in my brain in the early 20s, I was having this like life crisis where I was like, man, this, you know, this acting, it's not really working because I was screwing around.
Yeah, it's not like you weren't trying, you were trying and failing. You just weren't doing it.
I just wasn't really doing. I mean, I had a commercial agent, but in my brain, I was like, they're not getting me out. Like, this is, it's never going to work, man. And so I was like, well, why don't I just go to SeaWorld? And I'll be on stage and then I'll be working with dolphins. And that to me was like sold.
What's your background with dolphins that led you?
You
lived in a landlocked area, it seems like your whole life.
But I went to SeaWorld every summer with my mom for years.
In San Diego?
Yes.
Yeah, I still live in San Diego. I'm familiar. I've been there once.
Okay, so there you go. Yeah. I used to go all the time. And this is before Blackfish, before everyone freaks out. But so I went to Dolphin Quest in Hawaii and trained and became an assistant trainer. They have like an animal lecture series I went through. And then I came back to LA, went to SeaWorld, passed the test. I spent like 9 months becoming a rescue scuba diver, swimming a lot. And then passing the test at SeaWorld, and then I was like, nope, can't do it. Got to go back to LA. I know I'd regret it if I didn't like go and give acting.
So you got to the point you're supposed to get at.
The very end. And then I was like, no, can't do it. Got
to
get out.
But do you think you got to that point? You're like, now it's really time to put up or shut up. And you were afraid of success in what you were doing. And you, because it seems like you get to the point and then you were just like, all right, I'm going to peace out now that I got like, you know.
Right. Now that I knew that I had accomplished it, I just knew that once you start working at SeaWorld and you become a trainer, you're never going to go back. You're never going to be like, cool, I'm going to leave now to try to go become an actor if I pick up my whole entire life and move there. And I just was like, no, I can't do it. And I'm glad that the experience is great. But then once I was back here for, I don't know, still even after that, 3 years after like all that, still screwing around. And then finally, I don't know, something happened. I was like, I got to get to work. And once I did that.
So what's that work? What's that thing?
It was really, honestly, once I started my YouTube channel, my life changed.
So the same for me. It was totally life changing. YouTube. I started around like 2009-ish. I got caught up in that world. But
yeah.
It's life changing. The internet was changing. So what is that kind of like kind of help really kick things off for you and kind of define what you are going to do maybe?
I think it defined my voice and being like, listen, I a lot of being an actor is waiting around for a casting director to call you and just get in the room. And once I started my YouTube channel and like making people laugh on my own accord and being like, great, I can get myself and my content and my thoughts and point of view out there and make people happy. That made me happy. And then I, you know, there's times I'm sitting in my house editing my videos being like, I don't want to even this audition. Like, it's cool, but I'm probably going to be late because I need to finish this edit. Like, it just was a way for me to put myself out there. And then also people would see that and then contact me for work and be like, do you want to be on this thing or come and act in this deal? Because now I was having content in front of people's faces where I was just like, wow.
You kind of prove your, you know what I mean?
Like, your worth.
And you're like, do you like this? If you don't, great. You know what you don't like.
Yeah.
But if you do like this, this is me. I've already proven it to you.
Right.
Yeah.
It's literally life changing. I don't think I would be working. Like, I started to become a working actor, you know, a couple of years ago, and I've only started YouTube maybe 2.5, 3 years ago now. But really working to where I was like booking quite a bit. But I really do think it's mostly due to just YouTube and kind of find your voice, and gave me a lot of confidence. And it's been great. I never would have thought that I would call myself a YouTuber, but I really do love it.
It hurts a little to call yourself that. I mean, come on. A little bit. Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. But I don't know. I've learned to kind of change the way that I view it, to where now I'm just like, I'm a YouTuber. It's what I do. You can look me up. What I do, I already call myself hashtag this idiot. I have an idiot army. I reenact movie trailers with cardboard boxes and dinosaur toys. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't get any...
Yeah.
Like, I'm a YouTuber and I do kind of YouTubery things, right. Except I'm not doing like what's in your purse or a makeup tutorial. I'm doing like even, yeah, you get it.
You know,
dumb stuff.
Cinnamon challenges or whatever? Cinnamon challenge.
Oh, no.
No cinnamon challenges?
I don't want to die today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Rory.
And I'm Maul.
And we're the hosts of the new Rory and Maul podcast.
That's right.
I know you're probably listening to a podcast that you actually like right now, and we just interrupted it with an ad.
That's all right, we're here.
And I appreciate if you didn't hit the 15-second skip button.
Listen to our show where we cover topics like music, movies,
yes,
TV shows, which we love to binge watch.
Of course, just lifestyle stuff.
And give our crazy stories about our day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
Check us out on the new Rory Maul podcast. Listen to wherever you get your podcast, and let us know how you're feeling about our show.
And once you're done listening to this podcast that you actually like, maybe you could check us out.
So what's your, like, as far as, let's just say traditional acting, let's say non-YouTube.
Right.
Or non-Vine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just in that world of what kind of stuff do you do or you've done or you're interested in? Like, what's your jam? Or I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to.
Well, I think the main thing that really kind of changed my life acting wise was that I was in an independent film called Waking, and that was great. And
sounds independent.
I know, right?
Because I'm just like, oh, it sounds like a really cool cover. It's like Waking.
Yeah. And after that, you know, I've been in a few more films after that and some TV shows, but nothing big enough to where I get called, unfortunately, to where I get called into like casting directors' rooms to actually audition for pilot season. Like, I don't know what that means. I mostly go out for a lot of commercial work, which is great. I mean, they mostly ask for improv and comedy gals.
And then you have to drive out to Santa Monica.
Yeah, it's kind of the worst, you know, 3-hour trip from
and
like
then
where.
Maybe you get a call and then call back, go back again. Maybe you're on a veil. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I stopped doing the commercial. I couldn't. I live in the, I don't know where you live, but I live in the east side. I was like, I just don't.
I live on the east side too.
Yeah, I wasn't. It was a thing where I was just like, I'm fine at it, but there's so many people out there that are good at it or at least just as good as me. Like, I just felt like my time was better spent, like, you know, making my own stuff or kind of parlaying that stuff into, you know, I don't know. I've been in a lot of YouTuber movies. So,
oh, lucky you.
Yeah. So it's big. It's very small parts. And well, one coming out might be a little bit bigger, but they're just like, hey, we don't have a lot of you. We have a lot of 20-year-old, 24-year-old, like, Michael Treverson, like whatever. But we need Mr. Leonard. You know what I mean? Like, we need that guy. And I'm like, okay, cool. I can do that. And
I love it.
Yeah, it's
I
great.
Would die. I've never been in the YouTube space, which is why I'm trying to reach 10,000 subscribers so I can maybe get into
I don't want to brag. But you know what? I'm going to brag. For
Good
once
brag.
In my life.
Let it loose.
I was one of the original beta testers of the YouTube space.
Oh, I love
ago.
It.
Yeah, so I was one of the original, like... Yeah, it's so I kind of paved the way for that.
Dope.
I paved
the way for everybody.
Yeah,
huh?
So, you know, other people could like learn and stuff like that.
This is great.
Yeah.
I feel like I've learned nothing here, but I'm sure when you were there that you were great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that about you. Maybe. Yeah.
No.
Not. I don't.
YouTube Space is great. I haven't been there in a last thing I did was like the Alien movie, Alien. What's that last Alien movie? You're a movie person. Alien Covenant.
Oh, yeah.
They did a thing there with the Alien Covenant set, so I made a Choose Your Adventure thing with the Alien
Covenant
set. Yeah,
that's cool.
It was my peaked on YouTube between like 2010 and 2000, like maybe 14 or 15. Like that was my like heyday, and now I'm kind of just like,
right.
You know.
So you had a heyday, and now it's not your day.
And by heyday, I mean kind of like, I meant making money from it.
Right.
That's by heyday. I mean, not, you know, success. It's just, was I making, getting brand deals or whatever from it? Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I make $0, but I still do it.
Well, no, you have equity. You know what I mean? There's
right.
like that sweat equity. That's what I think, I mean, I do all kinds of stuff with like social media and kind of leveraging audiences and stuff like that. It's kind of like my like back end expertise.
Right. Yeah.
Analytics and stuff like that. Yeah. So, yeah, no, it's equity. So the money is not there. The money is in leveraging the audience later, as you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the cross-promo on all the different apps that I'm
and
on.
And trust, podcasting to, like, YouTube is so huge. It's just, like, one. It's like you listen on a podcast in your car. The first thing you want to do is while you're driving is look up somebody's YouTube and subscribe because it's very safe to do. So it happens all the time. So you're in the right place.
Subscribe.
Yeah.
T-A-R-A space E-R-I-C-K-S-O-N. Just had to add that in there.
That's your. Oh,
I know you were probably mostly promoting your channel, but that was my name. Yes,
yes.
I feel like you were going to ask, is that your name? Yes, it's my name, Tara Erickson. I just thought I would spell it out. Sometimes I say my name too fast, and people are like, Terry, Ari, Erickson.
What would you say is like? So your YouTube? Would you say is your main platform?
Yes.
You had to say. If you wanted somebody to go to one place, it would be YouTube.
Yeah, it would be YouTube. Yeah. For sure. You know, Stardust and LiveMe are the two other apps that I'm on. LiveMe, if you just want to see me play my guitar and sing songs, then go to live.me and look up.
And get those stars. You want those stars, hearts?
I want the diamonds.
Gotta get those diamonds, baby.
Send me the diamonds, and I've never gotten a castle. So if anybody just wants to log in there, drop me a castle.
I know people on, I'm not going to say who. Yeah. I'm in communication with a lot of live stream apps I've been doing for a long time. So they were like, hey, come back and do it and we'll feature you. So I've gone back on a couple of times over the past week and kind of getting re-familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know people feel it might make some serious money on there.
Yeah. I don't. Not yet. I've
but you're a host.
I am. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a featured like broadcaster.
Right, right. Yeah.
For them. But I've literally only done it for maybe 2.5 months now.
Yeah. You got to really.
Still new.
You got to be on it like with live streaming. It's like every day. Like,
exactly.
All day.
Yeah. And I don't do that. No. I only have time for like an hour a day, maybe about 5 to 6 days a week, which I know is not the normal thing, but it's not my only thing, which is why I go on there and I'm like, subscribe to my YouTube channel. I also have to watch TV and film for Stardust and like try to react to that, you know. It's busy and auditions and, you know, I'm glad that I'm busy, but I do wish that I did have more time that I could spend on LiveMe because it could be a fortunate thing for me to where I could actually pay some bills with it, which would be great. But we'll see, you know,
so
how
do you
it goes.
Do you do the day job thing or?
No, I mean, right now, luckily, I mean, I'll do like a side hustle here and there of like babysitting, you know, those for certain families, which is great. It's just like extra cash if I need it. But for the most part, you know, I've been really fortunate
in
booking enough like little non-union commercials and some, you know, the LiveMe and the Stardust stuff helps me. Like you said, it's equity and just booking gigs in general and like getting $100 here or there.
It adds up.
It does. And it's good. I've luckily, you know, been fortunate this past little while to pay my bills with my talents, which is great.
Yeah.
It's all I've ever wanted.
Well, how do you know Steven?
I know him through the IO community. He was in his sketch team there. Yeah. I forget. What his team was called.
I directed one of the sketch teams there. I don't know if he was the one he was in, though.
Funny guy.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I've known him for... We were on house teams at I.O. together.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was on Pussy's Grab Back for a minute. That was a team that was there. But now I'm with my new sketch, all-female sketch team called Glamazon. All-female writers, all-female actors. It's great. We're new, but we're just kind of getting out there in the world. We'll probably perform here at the Ruby Theater.
Yeah.
And, you know, just around town at UCB and stuff like that. We're just getting started, but I love the group.
Maybe just do it at the Palladium or something like that or
totally.
Kodak Theater. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
just
yeah.
like get one up, of those places.
Get up in there and be like, listen, we are women in comedy. And then just, I don't know, I guess dance around to some Avril Lavigne. That would sell out the Palladium.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I've actually done comedy at the Palladium, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, for a festival. I know. I found a picture of it. I was like, it was me and another guy. It was just basically like, it was a internet based thing. I don't know if you what was it, Digitour, which is like part of like the Playlist Live VidCon type thing. It's that kind of thing. So they did it was a festival there with like I guess musicians or honestly it's just like 13-year-olds like. Doing Q&As, whatever they do.
Right.
Whatever those kids do, but it was myself and a couple other, you know, YouTube people. We got up there and we just did stand up, but mostly like I just went out there and was kind of like trolling kids. I was like, oh, who here likes homework? Like, where are my ambers at? Like, you know what I mean?
Oh my goodness.
And they like, but it's like,
it's such a historical place. I was like, yeah. I shared the stage with like, and, you know, I've gone to shows there and you've just like, there's just the amazing talents been on the stage. And I'm up there like saying, who loves homework?
Right, right. That's kind of how I felt when I first performed at the Comedy Store one time when I was like, there are so many names that have been up here and performed on this stage. And I'm literally talking about Michael's Arts and Crafts store and buying like a plush dinosaur head and like just people waiting in line. Just being like, this is interesting.
You know what's really interesting?
What?
A word from one of our sponsors. I mentioned earlier I was going to Las Vegas and Florida, and I actually needed a carry-on. My friends at Away, first-class luggage at a coach price, hooked me up. Their approach is simple. They create special objects that are designed to be resilient, resourceful, and essential to the way you travel today. And yeah, I got an amazing carry-on, super functional, modern. It's very exciting for me. It's very exciting. These high-quality materials, while offering a much lower price compared to other brands, by cutting out the middleman and selling directly to you, you can choose from a variety of colors and four sizes, the carry-on, the bigger carry-on, the medium, or the large for extended stays. I picked green. You know, when it came down to a color, it's going to be like blue or black. That was my go-to. I was like, no, you know what? I'm going to shake it up and get green. All suitcases are made with premium German polycarbonate, unrivaled in strength and impact resistance, and very lightweight. The interior features a patent-pending compression system helpful for overpackers. My wife helps me pack. I'll admit it. She does a really great job. But sometimes when it comes down to me, I tend to overpack, so this will help with that. It has four 360-degree spinner wheels guaranteed for a smooth ride, TSA-approved combination lock built into the top of the bag to prevent theft, removable washable laundry bag, keeps dirty clothes separate from clean. I'm big on that. I have to keep them separated. Have to. Both sizes of the carry-on are able to charge all cell phones, tablets, e-readers, and anything else that's powered by a USB cord. A single charge of the Away carry-on will charge your iPhone 5 times. I mean, the way I use it, I'm probably going to use them. And then I won't have to find like a plug somewhere in an airport and like kind of sit in some uncomfortable position because it's near a plug. People have to sit next to me because I'm going to be the one with the chargers and I'm going to make friends. There's a lifetime warranty. If anything breaks, they'll fix it or replace it for you for life. 100-day trial. Live with it. Vibe with it. Travel with it. Instagram it. If any point you decide it's not for you, return it for a full refund. No questions asked. You're going to love it. And they're so confident they're giving you a 100-day trial. Free shipping on any Away order within the lower 48 states. Carry-on sizes that are compliant with all major U.S. airlines while maximizing the amount you can pack. And if you're in town, be sure to visit Away at their retail store in New York City. I will be there this year. I'm going to take that as an invite, and I'm going to show up because they invited me. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/FWB and use the promo code FWB during checkout. That's awaytravel.com/FWB and use the promo code FWB during checkout. So, is stand-up something that you – is that one of your jams?
It's something I dabble in, and I try to be consistent with it. I do love it. I'm not very diligent with it, meaning I should go to more open mics and I should probably do more shows. But really, there's so many things that I think I've gotten involved with, meaning for YouTube or like Stardust, it's all to like cross promote so that you have so many fires burning that they can't ignore you.
Yeah.
And stand up is one of those where it's like, oh, cool, it's just me and only my ideas. But fortunately enough, like my YouTube is that as well. And I feel like YouTube is sometimes more fun for me, but it's also just more accessible. I mean, I'm making so many videos all the time that, stand-up is like the grind is a lot harder. It takes up a lot more time. And I have never had the fire in my heart to be like, I'm going to hit up all these open mics. I'm going to do so many stand-up shows. And like in 2 years, I'm going to be a famous like stand-up person. I don't know. That's never been on my brain. I just know that I enjoy it. I like doing shows and telling my little stories.
Yeah, because I feel like you have like really interesting – I mean, even from like a storyteller type of perspective, like I – feel like you have a lot of really interesting things to say. Like if you just hearing about like, hey, yeah, I was just hanging around. I was like, I'm just going to train some dolphins, you know,
right,
is a very interesting thing when you have like literally not like one mention of it. And you're just like,
I love Celine Dion. You know, I'm probably gonna train some dolphins as I live in this landlocked area. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's. I feel like that's an interesting, interesting story to tell. I mean, I come from the YouTube world, and I was like, you know, doing improv and sketch years, like 12 years straight. And I was like, I've written some stand-up for people. I was like, I'm going to start doing stand-up. I've never done it before.
Yeah.
And I went to probably like 100-plus open mics in like 2 or 3 months. Because I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put in the work. And I can't take 10 years to do that.
Right.
Like, I need to be at least familiar sooner. And like, I've been on, like I said, been on stage a bunch of times. You know, mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily it translates in the sense that I'm like, I'm not nervous to get up in front of people,
right?
But it's a totally different thing.
Having
those jokes, and like I said, I have the same voice I've had on YouTube, Twitter, anything that I do, it's still this guy, but it's taking the temperature of the room. Like, you know, I just did something at the Comedy Store, and I was like, they are not feeling my LinkedIn jokes.
Right,
you know what I mean? They're a little older, and I'm not super young, but there was like, they didn't want to hear about like internet nuance.
Right.
And I figured that out on the stage. Like I was like, okay, I should switch gears
now.
You just don't know. But yeah, I know how you feel. It's a lot.
It is. And like, my stand-up is not like set up punchline. Right. It's not that. It's like, I'm going to tell you a story about how I went to Michael's Arts and Crafts store, or like, I'm going to tell you a story about like getting poked on Facebook. But it's a story. I mean, some of my bits are like 4 minutes long, and I, you know, you make funny stuff throughout it. It's not like, wait 4 minutes to laugh. But it's a little bit harder for me to jump ship, because a lot of my ideas are like a little more fleshed out. It's a lot of observational comedy, which is not – the payoff is not there with just a setup, and boom, here you go. It's like, nah, I got to take you through it.
You can do story times on YouTube, right? Are they still popular? Are story times still popular?
I don't know. You mean like –
they're actually called story times.
Really? To explain it real quick.
A story time is when somebody on YouTube, they really don't know what kind of video to make. So they either do a Q&A or a story. I keep up with a lot of the trends on YouTube. I just keep up with trends as a business, because in case I need to consult somebody.
Right.
And story times are one of them where they just literally kind of tell a story. And it's just a lot of jump cuts of telling the story. Sometimes I'm like, I don't think that story. I think that story is like a storyline from like,
a movie, and they stole it.
I've heard that. I've kind of heard that before.
God.
But people just want to be entertained. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, but they are like, it's just like, you know, that time I got, you know, kidnapped by aliens, whatever. Story time. Like, and story time is, I'm very into SEO. Is like, I don't know if it still is, but it was a kind of a popular SEO type thing. So.
Yeah, I've done a Q&A probably in the beginning when I first started YouTube. I'd be like, well, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And then I found out like kind of what I really want to do. And it's still like a jumble of like, I don't do the same things. But I think I did that once or twice and was like, I did it when I only had 20 subscribers. So the questions were not actually from the subscribers. It was like, I'm going to pull it from these other people's videos.
The internet's a lie?
Yeah.
Have you seen the internet's a lie?
Oh, God. And I was like, so you guys have asked me, you probably want to ask me this, right? But no, I haven't done any story time. I think the closest story time is me being like, hey, have you guys watched the Meg trailer yet? Cool. I'm going to reenact it for you now. Here's my story where I play all the characters.
I did a Meg reaction on Stardust app.
Yeah.
I was like, this is so bizarre. I was like,
right.
What is this?
It's the movie or the app or the react, the reenacting?
The trailer.
Trailer, I loved it. I'm obsessed with it. So I reacted to it as well on Stardust and my YouTube channel, but then I reenact it and play like the parts is the thing that I do.
Are you in like the Comic-Con world? Is that like your jam?
No, I'm not.
I figured it would be.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense with what the words that I'm saying now.
Yeah.
But no, I have never – I actually have never been to Comic-Con before. I'm sure it would have a blast-a-rooney, but no.
Well, use words like blast-a-rooney. I don't know what you
– Yeah, who knows where I belong.
Yeah.
Yeah, people say that quite often. They go, let's wipe our hands clean. We don't know where you should go. You figure it out and sayonara.
Yeah, you should be hanging with the dolphins, so
yeah,
technically.
Yeah.
So what's next for you? Like what's next, or like what would you say is like, here's what I'd like to see happen next?
I would love to reach 10,000 subscribers on YouTube. I know that's not a big deal, probably for a lot of people. For me, it is when you start with 11, like 2.5 years ago. It would be great.
It is a big deal.
That.
Everything's a big deal.
Yeah, because I put in a lot of work and a lot of time into that. And I don't make like any money from it. But I know that if I can get a little more subscribers and people watching, then maybe I could. And it would help support me so I don't have to take like so many like side hustle gigs. And then the other thing is I would really love to get in a room to like audition for a sitcom. I've never been able to do that. And I would just love to find like a good enough manager or somebody to get me in a room to be like, hey, read these two lines and make it funny. And I'd be like, great, that would be a lot of fun for me. Because I hear people are able to do it all the time. But it's really just about your representation. And that's a goal of mine.
They love this. Sometimes those agents matters, they love those numbers. You know what I mean? They love that social media.
I know. I work on it. I mean, that's why, you know, I create all my stuff and I'm on all those different platforms and try to be all over the place so they can't deny me to be like, hey, but what are you doing? And I'm like, what am I not doing? you know? Life is good right now. I'm happy with the way things are going, and I really enjoy like doing all the different things that I'm doing. I love the screenings that I get to go through, the Stardust app. It makes me feel so special and so fun. It's such a supportive group of amazing people that know about way more about movies and TV than I do. I just have a different point of view that they like on the app, which I'm very grateful for, and I like that I can play music for the other one and just goof around on YouTube. It's good. Like I think I have an audience of people that enjoy me, which is a plus.
So, well, for like potential.
Yeah.
New fans or subscribers, where can they find you on the internet so they can make sure to subscribe to all your stuff?
Just go to youtube.com/TaraErickson, T-A-R-A, and then E-R-I-C-K-S-O-N.
Good branding right there. Good branding. Got your name. Good branding.
Good brand. If you go to live.me, just search my name. If you go to Stardust, just search Tara Erickson. Instagram, too. I'm also on Twitter as the Tara Erickson. Don't forget the. You'll see me on pretty much all platforms holding a dinosaur in my hand. I believe that's my main photo. I like dinos and sharks, which is why I love the Meg trailer. If you guys are listening to this and you have not watched the Meg trailer, just maybe go and watch my reenactment of it first. I love that trailer so much. Like, you have no idea how excited I am to see a megalodon eat up like boats and people. And I'm just, it's so great.
And a Statham.
Oh, Jason, he's so good.
Yeah.
He's one of my faves.
You never think to see him in a movie. I don't know why. Just
in the Meg, like, I was so surprised when he's like, oh my God, it's a megalodon. And I'm like, oh, give it to me. Give me that accent. Do the whole thing. Go beat up some people. Let's go see Statham take on a megalodon. You know, great. This is going to be a blast for whoever doesn't think that's going to be fun. I don't know what you're doing with your life.
Probably just being rich and spending money, being successful and happy.
Yeah, okay, probably snooze just fest.
Yeah, boring.
Snooze fest. I'm talking about get a tub of popcorn, throw some peanut M&Ms in there.
No.
You get a large Coke. You sit. You watch a shark, a huge shark, big tooth, Jason Statham, get down and dirty. This is what dreams are made of.
You know, I just quit soda 2 weeks ago, so you're insensitive to my addiction.
Yeah, but what if they had like a Mexican Coca-Cola?
No.
You know, regular sugar.
No.
Just a classic.
No.
You're saying no to all of it.
Yeah.
This is okay. Great. Big tub popcorn, M&M's, iced tea. I switched the whole story. There's no reason for you to say no to it now. Your whole idea, no, because soda, pop, whiny, cry.
But no, I don't, the artificial sugars, I can't do it.
Oh, you can't have one M&M with your
popcorn? Oh, I can have the M&M. The M&Ms are fine.
Okay.
But I don't eat it in the, you put it in the popcorn?
Yeah, you dump the whole thing in there, you mix it up.
Nah, separate. Keep them separated, like The Offspring said.
Ha ha!